Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today. My issue with perimenopause was bloating, inflammation. I was also super fatigued and I had a lot of trouble sleeping. Now it's easier to manage menopause with Hormone Harmony. I went to a party last weekend and I couldn't believe how many of the women I was talking to were saying that they were going through perimenopause and had no relief from bloating, gas, hot flashes, mood swings, and just not feeling themselves. And I got it. I told them. I've been there. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. Women can't stop talking about it on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogen. Here's the beauty about adaptogen. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymama.com. Just use the code CHAT at checkout. That's happymama.com and use the code CHAT for 15% off today. Ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more meal planning, no more stressing about nutrition, no more shopping. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week with dietary options like Mediterranean diet, vegetarian, carb conscious, and even gluten-free dishes, all featuring organic fresh produce. There are truly options for everyone. Plus, you don't have to lock into one type of meal plan. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for every week. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. I was excited to find out that they had plans including gluten-free and dairy-free recipes that are tasty. Go to sunbasket.com/therapychat today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/therapychat to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 448.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan. I am feeling good. I just did a presentation with the Academy of Therapy Wisdom on therapy with survivors of sexual trauma. And there's a second session next week on the 20th of September. I just can't wait to go back and continue talking about this. I want to give you a heads up that we are going to be creating a course together on therapy with survivors of sexual trauma that should be coming out next year. So I'm super excited about that. But today, bringing you a conversation with someone who I really respect and admire, Libby Murdoch. Libby Murdoch is a licensed professional counselor and certified clinical trauma professional who facilitates basic EMDR training for clinicians on a monthly basis. She has a private practice located in Cincinnati, Ohio, where she offers EMDR intensives. She's a developer of resilience-focused EMDR and psychological CPR. Libby has presented at various conferences across the U.S. and internationally, which is how I met her. We met in London last year at a conference that she was speaking at, and she was such a dynamic speaker. I asked her right away to come on to Therapy Chat,
And we finally coordinated an interview. And then in halfway through, my power went out. So we had to scrap that and start over. Finally, I'm bringing to you our conversation, which I really enjoyed. Libby specializes in neuroscience-focused topics such as resilience, relationships, self-care, and trauma, and she utilizes techniques based on brain science and treatment, including EMDR. She's passionate about making neuroscience accessible to everyone, and her enthusiasm is impossible to miss. So I hope you will enjoy listening to Libby teaching about how she uses EMDR to help people tap into and expand their resilience. Let's check it out.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so pleased to be interviewing a colleague and newish friend, Libby Murdoch. Libby, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you for coming back, because our listeners don't know this, but we tried to record before and the storm came and my power went out and we were interrupted. So we had to start all over. But I'm really excited because we were having an amazing conversation about your work with resilience-informed EMDR. And I've been really eager to get back to it so we can bring this new method of EMDR to a wider audience. But before we get into it, let's just start off by you telling our audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So I'm Libby Murdoch. As you mentioned, I am based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. So the good old Midwest. I actually have a private practice here in Cincinnati called Brain-Based Counseling and Consulting, where I specialize in EMDR intensive therapy. I do some of that work in person, which is, I really love that. You know, it's very transformative. And a day and a half, I can do what would normally take me 3 to 4 months to do in kind of weekly, hourly therapy. But I also do a lot of virtual EMDR therapy as well. And I'm dually licensed in both Ohio and North Carolina. So I still do a lot of work in the North Carolina area as well, seeing clients and just doing training. And so that's the other aspect that I do. I'm not only a clinician actively practicing with clients, I am really passionate about learning and about sharing learning that I have had in my journey as a clinician. And so that kind of led me to develop brain-based EMDR training. So you know me, you've gotten to see me speak before. I'm a little bit of a nerd, hence brain-based, because that's kind of the lens that I like to pull in whatever I'm doing, right? Is that neurobiology, understanding how do experiences, environments, and relationships impact individuals. But then also, how are the tools and techniques that we're using in therapy, how are those actually facilitating the kind of growth and change that we want to see with our clients? And so that's something I absolutely love doing, is getting to train. And that kind of led me to develop my own resilience-focused EMDR basic training. And I got to work with MDREA to get that MDREA approved. So I'm super excited that that's something that is now accessible for folks if they haven't taken a basic EMDR training and they want to learn how to do EMDR, but not just do EMDR, do more trauma responsive EMDR, then resilience focused EMDR is a great option for basic training.
Okay. So I think I called it resilience informed, but it's actually resilience focused EMDR, right?
Got it. Yep. That's
okay.
Correct.
And that is an MDREA approved basic training.
Yes.
And your company is called Brain-Based Counseling and Consulting. Do you do other EMDR trainings besides the basic training, or is that the main one you offer right now?
So I do both basic and advanced. And that's one other thing. I actually recently established a second company, Brain-Based EMDR Training. And so they want to talk with me about my counseling services. It's brain-based counseling. But if they're interested in EMDR training, it would be Brain-Based EMDR is the name of that company that I do the EMDR training through. But yeah, I do basic. I also do advanced, and I've had several advanced programs approved through MDREA as well. And then I also just do other general trainings. I have my own model for psychological CPR that I actually train with a lot of first responders and peers. And so it's a form of psychological first aid that allows people to intervene with recent events, things that have happened within the past 3 months. Then I also do other trainings on the neurobiology of trauma, the neurobiology of resilience and relationships. So yeah, just I really enjoy training. So lots of EMDR training, but also just lots of other trainings in general.
That's great. Thank you for explaining all of that. And I want to say, like, you mentioned this, but I have attended training with you, not your EMDR training, but at a conference last year. And you're a very dynamic speaker. And you called yourself a nerd, but you make the topic interesting and clear these new concepts for a lot of people to understand the way our brains respond to trauma. And it's not just nerdy stuff. It's actually like making sense out of what's going on inside that makes us behave the way we do. And I think my opinion, you know, neurobiology of trauma and the like interpersonal neurobiology, that's all essential to understand. I know there are some methods that, you know, don't focus on that at all, but to me, it's a must. So I'm really glad that you have this gift for taking that complex information and making it understandable to, I think, everyone.
Thank you.
Therapists and general public.
Yeah, that really means a lot for you to say that, because I think, again, you know, it's something I'm so passionate about. And, you know, even when I go and learn from kind of the experts, you know, in the field, you know, it's like, how can we not only simplify this, right, so that anybody can have a conversation about it and it doesn't feel like it's going over your head? How can we also synthesize it and bring together all of the different pieces, you know, kind of like you were saying with interpersonal neurobiology? How can we bring together everything that we know from the different disciplines about neurobiology and turn it into something that is applicable, right? Because it's great to have the scientific concept, but then what does it look like to put that in action with your clients? Again, which I think was such a big inspiration for me in developing resilience-focused EMDR was, you know, can we help people to develop as more trauma-responsive EMDR clinicians, but can we also empower them to make neurobiology and information about the brain and how EMDR impacts the brain and facilitates positive trauma resolution? Can we teach them to make that accessible to their clients as well? Which I think for me, you know, in my experience as a clinician, it's been such a huge part of the buy-in that I can get with my clients, right? Because it's one thing to give your client a mindfulness skill and say, hey, go practice that. But it's another thing to be able to expand to that or explain to them how this can expand their window of tolerance or reprogram their baseline mood state, or, you know, I like to say sell the results, not the product, right? How this can actually help them start to feel better, right? Which we know is going to enhance their motivation to do the things that are outside of their comfort zone.
Yeah, I love it. And so how did you start this? What made you, I guess you could, if you want to go with how you got into the field or just why you created resilience-focused EMDR.
Yeah, I'll give you a short and a long story. So
Okay. Kind
of what happened was when I was in graduate school, so during my master's program, one year for Christmas, my mom got me the book Brain on Fire. It's a New York Times bestseller. And if you haven't read it, highly recommend go check it out. They've also turned it into a movie. But even though I was in graduate school at the time, and so that meant I really didn't read anything. I skimmed everything. I read this book in like 24 hours and it left a huge impression on me. And I won't give away, you know, what happens in the end, but basically there's a woman who thinks she's having mental health symptoms and it ends up being truly something very different in the end. And so it was like this big impact on me of, wow, like I'm going to be working with people's brains and I better understand, again, the things that I'm asking them to do and the interventions that I'm using. How is that actually going to impact their brain, their body, and their nervous system? And so when it was time for me to find a supervisor, I went to, you know, the lead of my program. I said, hey, I need you to help me find someone who can help me learn everything I can about the brain. And so I'm so grateful they introduced me to one of my mentors, very dear friend. She was actually with me in London when we met. Her name's Mary Vicario. And she likes to call me her little mini Amy Farrah Fowler because I'm kind of like, you know, she's helped me become the nerd that I am today. And so now she and I get to go and travel and again, learn from Dan Siegel, Bessel van der Kolk, Janina Fischer, you know, all of the people, Peter Levine, Gabor Mate, all the people that are kind of Stephen Porges, you know, all the people that are leading experts in the field. And so that's been a really fun experience. So again, I kind of had this passion. Okay, I need to learn about the brain. I need to understand how environments, relationships, and experiences are impacting my clients and the issues that they're having. And then I need to know what interventions are doing in the brain. And so part of the training that she and I took was a traumatic stress certificate program through the Trauma Resource Institute, which used to be run by Bessel van der Kolk. And in that training, Bessel talked about EMDR. And he talked about the fact that he was a skeptic at first and he didn't believe it. And he went to training and got partnered with someone who didn't even like him and wouldn't tell him his trauma. And so he was even more convinced that it wasn't going to work. And guess what happened? His quote unquote client got better. And that's when Bessel bought in, you know, to EMDR. And I still remember what he said at the training, using top down methods, for example, cognitive behavioral therapy to treat trauma is akin to taking someone's tonsils out through their nose. It's possible, but why would you when there may be better, more effective methods that allow you to go straight to the source? And thus was the inspiration for me taking an EMDR training. So I took an EMDR training back in 2016. Again, it kind of became my jam. I became not only a clinician of EMDR, but a client of EMDR, and then eventually a consultant of EMDR, and then working my way up to, you know, becoming a trainer. And I think, again, just the way my brain works, just like I can simplify and synthesize concepts, I was starting to notice maybe the different ways that I would say things in a training or bells and whistles that I wanted people to get when they came to basic training. And so that was kind of the inspiration. I was literally at an EMDR training and I was like, I think I'm going to create resilience-focused EMDR, because everyone has, you know, in the world of EMDR trainings, everybody puts kind of their own little spin on the basic stuff that Francine Shapiro has, you know, in the original text. And so for me, the spin was resilience, which is relationship and bringing in that neurobiology piece that I think just, again, is such a value add to the training, and also helping people understand, because I think a lot of times when people think about EMDR training, they're thinking about this and the eye movements and the tapping and when we're doing trauma processing. Little do they understand, EMDR is a comprehensive model for therapy. And there are other components of EMDR therapy that can be just as impactful, if not maybe sometimes more impactful for our clients who've experienced trauma than the trauma resolution phases of EMDR. And specifically for anyone who knows, you know, the phases of EMDR, I'm talking about our phase two preparation and when we help clients build resources. And so that's also something in the resilience-focused EMDR training. We go much deeper into phase two because a lot of people don't realize phase two has the power to reshape the nervous system, you know, just in a different way that we're doing when we do processing phases three through six. So
I love that you said that, because, and now one thing that's different between when we talked in January and now when we were interrupted in January, I've now done EMDR basic training. So I really know what you're talking about now. And I mean, I had heard people talk about the eight phases and everything, but now I get it.
Yep.
Get it. And as a trauma therapist, and I always say this when I talk about EMDR, I've worked with a lot of people who, you know, I'm sure you've seen this, Libby, people who've experienced trauma, and I'm including attachment wounds in trauma. And also when I say people who've experienced trauma, I mean almost everyone. I know I have, no offense, but I'm sure you have. Like,
absolutely.
Most people have experienced some kind of trauma. We know from the Average Childhood Experiences study that it's exceedingly common for children to have adverse experiences where there's no one to help them in those moments, no one to help them emotionally to recover, to make sense out of it. So they can't process it and it has to be split off. And that's, you know, how most adults that are walking around in our world right now are living.
Yes.
67% or more, right? So,
and can we give the audience a working definition of trauma? Because you and I were talking about this before we came on, but I think it bears repeating. The DSM, which is how we clinicians diagnose people, it really pigeonholes you with the definition that it would give you of what trauma is. You know, someone has to have had some sort of serious threat of their life or of their, you know, person, you know, whereas when you actually zoom out, trauma, if we want to look at a more broad definition, trauma is any experience that involves some degree of loss of control or vulnerability, right? The inability to change things around, and intense negative feelings and sensations, right? If those two things are met, you can consider that a trauma. And so I think when you use the T word, right, trauma, it really calls up a very different image than what we're saying could qualify as a trauma, right? Because people may not think, oh, you know, when I was sad and my parent didn't know how to show up for me and help me feel seen, soothed, safe, and secure, people may not have considered that a trauma, but in reality, that could, right, fit that definition. Or even the idea of being bullied, right? That's another thing. Again, it wouldn't fit the DSM definition, but it would definitely fit our definition for the things that are traumatic. And I'm even recalling what Francine Shapiro says, any event that has a lasting negative effect on the psyche is by its nature traumatic. So I was like a bobblehead over here the whole time you were talking.
Yes.
Like, we're all affected, right? And that was another thing that was so cool for me about learning the neurobiology is like this idea that, oh, like nobody's broken here. We're not broken. We're affected.
This is not mental illness or people with mental health problems. This is a reaction to experiences. Well, that's what it results in, but it doesn't. People have this idea of mental health as, even when the words mental health are spoken, it's seen as you have a sickness.
Right.
You know, when we talk about health, when we say health, we don't think that means disease. But when we say mental health, it's like, oh, problems, illnesses, disorders, pathology, something's wrong. That person's not okay. Something's different about them. And that's not, you know, we all have mental health. Our health, our mental health and our physical health are part of us, as well as our emotional, spiritual health.
Yep.
I want to share with you a definition that I love from, I have it here on a piece of paper, Bonnie Badenoch's The Heart of Trauma. The definition there is, any experience of fear and or pain that doesn't have the support it needs to be digested and integrated into the flow of our developing brains.
Yeah.
So that's really more about developmental trauma. But, you know, to me, that's where the hurts that happen now can't be integrated because back then we didn't get in some ways what we needed. I mean, that's kind of my operating assumption when I'm working with people in therapy.
Yes, but I love that you keep using the word integration, right? Because that's what Dan Siegel would actually define as mental health. Mental health is integration. And so when we have, and this is kind of bringing it back to EMDR, in EMDR, we have the adaptive information processing model. And so that helps us to understand that memories, environments, relationships, and experiences that form and create memories, those are really contributing to the development of all of us, the good and the bad, right? Because we have adaptive and then we have things that are maybe maladaptive, right? From a result of those more traumatic experiences. And so that's what I love about EMDR is that it very much supports what we were just talking about, this idea that if you're struggling, right? If you're a people pleaser, if you have imposter syndrome, if you have perfectionism, you know, or if you're someone who has anxiety, depression, or post-traumatic stress disorder, again, it's not that there's something wrong with you. It's the sign of past environments, relationships, and experiences or memories, right, that are not integrated. And because those haven't been fully integrated into the system, we see those symptoms or those challenges, right, that our clients often come to therapy with. And so to me, like, what a more compassionate way to see yourself and your clients. Then again, it's not that there's something wrong with them. It's actually the result of some sort of a memory. And we can use positive trauma resolution to, again, resolve those stuck memories that are unintegrated and help them become integrated. And so I love EMDR for that reason. You know what I mean? It has this very, I mean, it's obviously scientific, right? Because there's a ton of evidence. It's research. It's evidence-based, it's research-based, but it's almost intuitive too, right? Like when you hear those ideas and concepts, and I can only speak for myself, but I would guess it's the same for you. That just feels so in alignment. This idea that, again, it's not that I was ever broken. It's that I need to work through some of these memories, you know, and when I do that and those are integrated into my system, then the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors get to change in line with that, with the resolution of those memories.
Ready to take your backyard bird watching to the next level? I can't stop telling everybody about my new Feathersnap bird feeder. It's a Wi-Fi enabled smart bird feeder, blending the best of technology and nature. I've enjoyed so much since we got this thing set up, looking up close at the birds when they land on the feeder. I get a notification to my phone with a picture. There's three pictures every time a bird lands on the feeder, and I get to see some cool action shots. I can see their faces close up, their eyes, their feathers, the detail on their heads. It's amazing. I've enjoyed seeing woodpeckers, goldfinches, male and female, house finches, chickadees, tufted titmouse, blue jay, a few squirrels. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
Imagine a life without sneezing, itchy eyes, or avoiding your friend's house because they have a cat. Thanks to Curex, allergies are no longer something you have to just deal with. Curex is America's largest online allergy clinic. I'm lucky that I'm the person in my family who has the least allergies, but my siblings and parents have struggled with allergies and needed allergy shots. But I understand they can be debilitating. The good news is allergies can be treated effectively and you can make allergic reactions a thing of the past. These allergy drops are trusted by doctors and backed by science with hundreds of studies from top institutions like Harvard Medical School and the Mayo Clinic. In fact, in Europe, allergy drops are the go-to treatment for allergies. If you're serious about kicking those allergies to the curb, check out Curex. Treatment starts as low as $59 a month, and if you sign up now, you can save 80% off of the $49 sign-up fee. Go to getcurex.com today for this limited time offer. Don't let allergies control your life. Take control with Curex. Go to getcurex.com. That's G-E-T-C-U-R-E-X.
Therapists, we've all had that moment. You wake up in the middle of the night. Oh my gosh, did I do my notes? Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore when you use Therapy Notes. Therapy Notes makes it easy to write your notes, get them done quickly, but thoroughly. My group practice has used Therapy Notes for 6 years, and everyone always finds it easy to use. But the best thing is, if you do need help, you can call their customer service number and a person answers the phone. And anytime I've ever had to use it, which is maybe 3 times in the past 6 years, my issue has been resolved easily with a cheerful demeanor in 15 minutes or less. So I highly recommend Therapy Notes. And don't forget, go to therapynotes.com and use promo code CHAT to get 2 free months.
Yes. And I just, this may complicate things a little bit, but I just wanted to name additionally, and this is something you and I were talking about before we started recording, how it's memories, but there's all, like when you mentioned the environment, and it's not always just the environment you grew up in, even though I was emphasizing developmental trauma, as we were talking about, you know, we live in world, especially the Western world, where, you know, the colonized world, where colonization has been, culture has been stripped, norms and values and ways that were traditional, earth-based, indigenous have been stripped. And in a way, it's like integrating those back in. Those aren't necessarily memories. Maybe the imprint is held in your body implicitly, but it's not like you necessarily have a memory of something from what your ancestors may have had stolen from them or, you know, forcibly taken from them,
right,
decades and centuries back. But additionally, you know, just in
change the way your DNA is read and transcribed, though. So even though you don't have a memory, quote unquote, it does
your
live.
Your body has. Too,
right.
Yes.
And I think that's something even I think Lisa Danini talked about last year when we were all in London. And I think she said it goes back like 14 generations of genetic tags that live inside of all of us. And I'm so glad you even mentioned, you know, the cultural aspect to it as well. I don't know if you know this about me or not, but I'm actually Wyandot Native American. And so I've been on the roll with the tribe since I was born. And, you know, that was, even though I've always known that about myself, I have not ever had the opportunity to really connect with that part of my culture until a few years ago when I got to attend a powwow for the first time. And seeing the dancing and the drumming, and again, it's so interesting, me being an EMDR therapist, I'm like, this is bilateral stimulation, right? Like, you know, each culture found ways to do these things that, again, we can now prove work with science. We didn't know that then, but these were very much the traditions, you know, of cultures. And I think even when we think about doing EMDR, that's one of the things we like to emphasize in our program, is that we don't exist in a vacuum, right? And we really truly are in a time and space in our culture where you can't necessarily know everything there is to know about someone just by looking at them. And so we need to be having these conversations and making sure that we're tailoring whatever the approach is. I don't care if it's EMDR or CBT or DBT, that we're tailoring the approach of whatever models we're using, you know, to meet our clients where they're at, and also to honor, you know, resources that are inherent inside of them and inside of their culture. Because just like we have the genetic tags and all of the stuff from the generations of trauma, we also have generational resilience as well. And so what a great way to be able to honor that.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about generational resilience and the innate drive towards wholeness and integration that our systems have. But I want to name, I feel like it would kind of be a huge omission if we didn't name, almost like just full circle, how you mentioned being part of a tribe. Can you say the name of your tribe again?
Wyandot. Wyandot Native American. So we originated up by New York and Canada. We then eventually migrated down into Ohio, and then from Ohio on the Trail of Tears, ending up where we're at, or where the reservation is located currently, in Oklahoma.
Okay, thank you. And so just to name that, colonization here in the United States, this land that was inhabited by the Native peoples of this land, and how we, the white settlers, came and forcibly stripped and genocided the Native American tribes, though they weren't all eradicated, but so many were, and so many thousands and millions of people were, and how, you know, you are part of that tribe, and you, in a way, it was stripped from you. You didn't have connection, even though you were part of the tribe. And then you went to this powwow, and here you are with all this science knowledge, which science is part of the colonization.
Right.
But, you know, you go, it's like coming back and going, yeah, the rhythmic movement is bilateral stimulation. We know this works. We know this is real, but also they knew this was real. They didn't need to have their culture erased in order to, for all of us to learn, because they always knew that these ways were real and effective. And it's the community connection in the fabric, you know, that's so important. So I'm saying this as a white person. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I just feel like it's so present in this conversation. I feel like if I didn't say it, it would be a huge omission. Yeah.
Well, and I think to add to that too, right, these concepts of historical and intergenerational trauma, because I feel like we've been dancing around it. So let's just say what it is, right? Because things like, you know, colonization, things like slavery, things like the Holocaust, things like the Asian American internment camps after Pearl Harbor, things like COVID, those are all examples of historical trauma. And what
what's happening in the Middle East.
Yeah, that, I mean, all examples of historical trauma. And that actually gives rise to the other things we've been talking about, which are patterns of intergenerational trauma, right? Think about the ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, domestic violence, mental health, addiction, incest, abuse, right? All of these are actually the result of these larger historical traumas. And then they get passed down through the generations, literally until someone decides, you know, the buck stops here, right? And that's why I am so grateful to have not only found EMDR as a clinician, but also a client, because those are things that I run up against in my processing all the time, which might be surprising to people that in EMDR, you're not only rewriting your own nervous system and your own story in some ways, you're rewriting some of the things that didn't even belong to you, that again are things that have been passed down through the generations. And what an epiphany, right? That is when you realize, like, oh my God, this was never actually my problem. There's not been a template for this happening in a healthy way in any generation that came before me. So no wonder it was a challenge for me. So really empowering.
Yes, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And let's take, if you will, let's take the rest of our time for you to tell us what, because, you know, just to say real quick, what people are thinking about when we're talking about trauma, when we're talking about, you know, rewriting memories of negative experiences, resilience-focused EMDR is not exactly, you're tapping into something different. Am I right? Not just the removing a negative thing.
Right. Yeah. So what is resilience-focused EMDR, and like, how is it different than just standard EMDR? Yeah. And the thing that I like to tell people is that even though this is a basic training, the training is anything but basic. And not only are you going to get all of the original concepts that Francine Shapiro intended, my goal was for it to be an expansion. So a couple of the things that you're going to get with resilience-focused EMDR, you're going to get that neurobiological lens, right? We talk a lot about the brain science behind how EMDR works, and also how to explain that to your clients in a way that makes it accessible for them. The other component is that we also teach trauma responsive EMDR. So again, we're giving you the full view of the different ways that you can approach EMDR, but a lot of us are working with complex trauma, right? And so kind of the first and
most worst. Of us.
Yes, most of us. And so the first and worst approach, where we dive headfirst into the deep end with working on someone's trauma, that's not the only way, and that's not always the best way to use EMDR with these really complex clients. And I would, most of us are complex, right? All it takes to be complex is that you have more than one negative cognition and you have, you know, multiple traumatic experiences. So, but yeah, this idea that with resilience-focused EMDR, we can make EMDR processing accessible to a wider variety of clients, because we truly help you understand what is the function of bilateral stimulation in the positive trauma resolution process, and how can you, as the therapist, influence what's coming up for your client so that it can be digestible for them and they don't end up feeling like Alice just fell down the rabbit hole, and not in a good way. Because that can sometimes happen with EMDR. If we go too deep too fast, or we do too much too soon, it actually scares our clients, or they abreact, or things start getting worse for them. And so that was a big reason why I wanted to develop this resilience-focused EMDR. And then the last thing, and this is, I think, one of the coolest things about resilience-focused EMDR, in addition to those standard EMDR resources that we all get in basic trainings, the right. Peaceful Place, the container, belly breathing, I have actually created additional scripts for developing resources that could literally be hundreds or thousands of resources with just 5 or 6 scripts. So that's the other cool thing, is that when you take resilience-focused EMDR, you actually get additional scripts for resourcing with your complex clients, and a different frame for how to use resourcing with your clients to not only teach them methods for coping, but we also go into this idea of regulation and how can, with these positive emotional resources, you not only help someone feel better, but you help them get a wider window of tolerance. You help them reprogram their baseline mood state. And these things are possible with resources in EMDR without even necessarily touching the trauma. So we help you get the most out of every phase of EMDR, not just the trauma resolution and the processing phases. And not to mention, you get really pretty workbooks and visual aids, and we really wanted it to feel like an experience. So I think, you know, I took the things that I enjoy in training and wanted to make them accessible to anyone coming to take the course. So
I love that. And what I was going to say before about, and I always get so long-winded, but what I was going to say before about the phases is, people, when they hear EMDR, they go, oh, I got it. You know, I've suffered so much for so, so long. I'm going to do EMDR. I need to get this done. And there can be this intense sense of urgency to process. People don't want to spend time in phases 1 one and two. They want to be processing. And, you know, but that's where the ab reaction happens because the nervous system is not ready to tolerate. That's why they're not able to get there. You know, before that, they're not, I mean, maybe it's that they haven't had trauma therapy, but even if you are in trauma therapy, your system has to be ready to go there safely. And that's what phase two is all about, is really expanding the person's ability to tolerate the discomfort of going to that material. So is what makes it resilience focused that you are implementing those, expanding the window of tolerance techniques in phase two?
You got it. We're teaching a different frame for resources. It's not just teaching your clients to cope and use resources reactively. We also teach proactive use of resources, which can empower clients to expand their window of tolerance and reprogram their baseline mood state. And so when I personally have taught my clients the difference between coping and regulation, they come in and they say things like, I feel comfortable in my skin for the first time. Or, yeah, I had that trigger come up and it was upsetting, but you know what? It didn't derail me. And so it's almost like with those resources, you know, we can help them start to feel better and really make them a better candidate for the trauma resolution. Because what you just highlighted there, Laura, was something I say a lot in consultation, which is that someone's desire to process a certain target in their past does not mean they have a distress tolerance to match, right? And so that's where we as clinicians have to be really cautious. And I like to be more conservative, you know, when I'm doing EMDR with clients for that reason. So,
me too. I think that clinicians can feel a lot of pressure to hurry up and process because the client is pushing for that because they're like, I've got it. And it's like, that should be a clue that actually this person needs more support in being regulated than they actually need more support in processing at this time, because they're feeling such an intense distress.
Yes.
That's what the urgency is telling you. It's not just that they're like, I'm sick of all this wasting time. It's their system is going, do it now, do it now. That's what trauma tells you, right?
Right.
Get this done, get it over with, you know? Yeah.
That urgency is a trauma response, and it's actually an invitation for us. And I just think about polyvagal theory, right? I think a lot of people don't fundamentally understand trauma work isn't just about trauma resolution, right?
Right.
It's also about helping clients to acclimate to positive feelings and sensations in their nervous system and, you know, kind of a dance, right, between doing trauma work and approaching that negative emotion, but also helping them to get really good and really comfortable sitting with and creating good feelings inside of their nervous system as well, which I think is huge.
Yeah. So that's what we call post-traumatic growth, right? Where you have a transformation that comes from the healing process. It's not just like, you know, it's not just like you have a cyst in your skin and you remove the cyst. That's not what we're doing. It's more of a, you know, it's a more nuanced, like, weaving experience. So Libby, my last question before we wrap up is, if people are already trained in EMDR basic training, is there a way that they can learn resilience focused EMDR without having to do the basic training again?
Yeah, that's a great question. So currently we do offer the 40-hour training as a refresher. So that is one option if you're like, man, it's been a while since my basic training. Like I could use, you know, a little bit of a refresher there. It's a great opportunity. And I've had several colleagues who took basic training and then took ours as a refresher. And one of my colleagues actually ended up crying after taking the training because she's like, this is the first time I've actually really felt confident and really feeling like I get it finally. And so, you know, that's an option. We do plan to continue to host advanced trainings moving forward in the future. Kind of long-term goal is that we would have on-demand advanced trainings available. But then again, you know, if you work with a group or an agency and you're looking for someone to provide advanced EMDR training, don't hesitate to reach out, because that's something that I love to do. I love to travel and, you know, just share my knowledge and experience with folks. So if you're looking to learn how to do intensives, or if you want to learn my advanced resourcing skills, or how to use EMDR therapy with non-diagnosable issues, those are all topics that I love to train on. So
wonderful. Well, I know you are so passionate about this, and it really comes through. Even again, the way you talked today, I'm asking you this and that. You're just like going right with it. I just love the way you're very agile in your thinking. So how can people, where do people find your two organizations?
Yeah. So if they're interested in learning more about an EMDR intensive as a client, they would visit brainbasedcounseling.com. And if they're interested in learning more about EMDR training or any of my other trainings that I offer, they'd want to visit www.brainbasedemdr.com. And I would love to share for anyone who's listening, if you're interested in taking our EMDR basic training, if you use code EMDR2024, we'll give your listeners $200 off the cost of their initial training. So just wanted to share that out there as well.
Fabulous. Thank you. And I'm glad that we are staying in touch because I have so much more to say to you. But for now, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today, Libby.
Thank you for having me. The universe couldn't keep us apart, so I can't wait to see what fun we get into in the future.
Oh, me too.
Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.